I have a friend who, every time we drive past the cemetery, says, there's another equalizer. Equalizer. I kept trying to imagine what it was she was seeing. And then she said, one day she said, it's the cemetery. When you get there, everyone is equal. You're the same as everyone else. There's no difference between people in there. And I thought about that for a moment and I realized, yeah, she was so right. For the first time in a person's life, well, actually, for the second time in a person's life, the first time that we are completely equal is when we are born. The second time, unfortunately, is when we die. And people that are in the cemetery, they're laying in there. Some might have on a better suit. Some might have on a prettier dress, but there's no difference. They're not going anywhere. They're just all there. They have become completely and totally equal. So on my way to work every day, I'm sort of a cemetery buff, and on my way to work every day, there's this little tiny cemetery, Cole Cemetery. And I often wondered, there's probably, I don't know, maybe 150 people buried there, if that. And I often wondered, was this a family cemetery? Was it a cemetery? Did that town used to be named Cole? What was going on? So I did some research, and I found that this cemetery was located on land that was originally owned by Mile Cole. And Mile came to Illinois in 1938. And so there's a lot of his family buried there, but you don't have to be a family member. And so among the people buried in the cemetery are two men, John Henry and Fred Hatch. So if we're walking through this cemetery and we're looking and we see the headstones of these two men, we see that Fred Hatch has this big headstone. John Henry has this little tiny one. Hatch is buried with a bunch of family members. Henry's kind of off on his own. We might perceive from this that Henry was a single man and Hatch had a big family. But again, we don't know that. We just perceive that. But if we do some research, we can find out that John Henry was an ex-slave. And he spent his time working, and he never really was able to get a lot of money. Fred Hatch, on the other hand, was the man that invented the silo. So in this cemetery that contains about 350 people, we have one man that was born and died in poverty, and another man that made a name for himself in his lifetime. And our perception of these two men, based on the headstones, was pretty good. Now they're both equal. They're both at rest. We, as human beings, are born into this world equal, and when we die, we are equal again. But there are so many things in our lives that affect our equality. Race, economic status, gender, gender identity, and the list goes on. These differences that occur during our lifetimes can cause us to be a judgmental group of people at times. It isn't our fault. Our learned and perhaps even subconscious attitudes towards other people are based on any number of their defining characteristics, and these help us to comprehend the situation and gauge our behavior accordingly. We look at what we see and we make an assessment on what is seen. We're not trying to be judgmental. We're just trying to make sense of what our eyes tell us. So perception is based on what it is that we see rather than the backstory or the history of what an individual person might be. We as Unitarian Universalists spend a lot of time looking at people and attempting to see the equality in all people. And I can say, we're pretty dang good at it. Although somewhere in the back of our minds, on rare occasions, we do find we make judgments based on appearance. We may never verbalize these, and most times they're gone in the blink of an eye. We might not even know that we had that problem. Most times, we feel superior. There are other times when we feel inferior. And we can only do what it is that we can do in the blink of an eye as we look at others. We can't know their backstory. So at times, the impression or perception of another person is skewed. It doesn't take into account what that person has been through or what their history is. This is human nature. And although we attempt to find equality in all other humans, sometimes we feel inferior. Sometimes we feel way superior. And that's just the nature of the human being. So, perceptions and backstories. I'm going to start with myself. So, as I stand here today, you'll notice that I'm just a little bit bent over. It's okay. I have arthritis in my spine. It causes me to bend just a little bit. But as people look at me, due to the fact that I'm a little bent over, I've had people come up and say, well, if your posture was better, you would look better. Okay? If you stood up straight, you would look so much better. I've overheard people saying this, and yeah, it's true. If I could stand up straighter, I'd probably look better, but... people see me, they have this perception, they perceive that I can just stand up straight, and it's going to make them feel better. So when I hear people say this, because I've heard it a lot, I have this image of their brains sort of acting like a little slot machine. The wheels are spinning, thoughts are going around. Brain is attempting to make sense of something that's just a little bent over. I can see the brain going, bending down to pet the dog. No, that's not it. Bending over to pick something up. No, that's not it. Wait, I remember. My family members used to tell me that I should sit up straight or else I'd have bad posture when I grew up. Yep, that's it. The brain took a nanosecond to work this out. And it came up with something obscure from their history. But the backstory of the problem is simple. I just have arthritis in my spine. And it causes me to do strange things, become a little crooked, bend over. But now that you know that I have arthritis in my spine, now that you know why I bend over, it makes it better. You don't have to stop and think about all those things. You don't have to worry about, oh, am I bending over to pick something up? What am I doing? No. You understand it. And if I continue to tell you more about my life, there's a possibility that you could go from understanding to feeling sorry for me. And I don't want that to happen. So I just go along with what people say, and I leave it at that. In my mind, I can get around, I can do all the things I need to do, all the things I want to do, and I'm fine, even though I'm a little crooked. So that's sort of how perceptions and backstories work. So now I want to take you on a journey with me. And we're going to go to the grocery store. And it's one of those bigger stores where they have little scooter carts. And we walk into the store, and we're walking down the aisle. And there's a woman in a scooter cart. About, say, 35 years old, well-dressed. Looks really good. No crutches, no braces, no nothing. She's just in that cart. And we're walking, and we're looking at her, and that little pain starts to nag at us. Why is that woman in the cart? Why am I not in that cart? I should be in that cart. My back hurts. She looks fine. Our brains run away with us. We start to look at things in a different way. The perception that that woman has nothing wrong with her causes our brains to lash out. But the backstory to that woman is that she has MS. And she made it from the parking lot to the store. She got in a little cart. She can't walk anymore. She'll ride that little cart around. When she's done shopping, her body will have rested enough, she'll be able to walk back to her car. Our brains. We know the backstory. Now we know why the woman is in the cart. Now we feel much more comfortable helping her. Where we were starting to feel anger, now we're starting to feel compassion. So, we're going to move on to the checkout lane. So we get up to the checkout lane. We've had a pretty good trip, other than that woman in the cart, but we've gotten over that, because now we sort of have a feeling, yeah, it's okay. So we're getting up to the checkout line, and we see a couple people in front of us, and we look at them, and they're getting kind of angry, and the woman behind the counter is getting kind of angry, and the whole situation is starting to explode. And when we finally get up there, we look at this woman. She's mean. She's not even cranky. She's beyond cranky. This woman is downright mean. And our brains pick up on that. And so our brains go, oh, mean woman, I better be mean. So we jump on it. And where she says something to us, we just snap back at her because she's already mean, so now we better be mean back. We become indignant. The woman's meanness has caused us to be mean and hateful. And as she snaps at us, we don't know what her backstory is. We don't know why she's mean. We just know she's plain mean. But if we knew that story, it'd explain it all. This woman is a single mom. Last night, her child had to be taken to the emergency room where they stayed until about 3 o'clock in the morning. They got home. She had to get up at 6 to leave for work. She had to leave her child, her sick child, with somebody else. And if she didn't go to work, she'd lose a day's pay. And if she lost a day's pay and didn't go to work, her boss would cut her hours and then put her further into debt. And all this is going on in her mind. And yeah, it's making her cranky. And it's making her mean. But our brain doesn't know that. So our perception is that she's just a mean-spirited person. But if our brain did know that whole story, our perception would change. We wouldn't be angry. We wouldn't find this woman to be hateful. If only there'd been a little sign at the beginning of the checkout lane that said, single mom, very sick child, worried about money. When we got up there, we would have been the compassionate you-use that we are. We would have tried to use soothing words rather than being harsh. And probably knowing that we're yous, we would have taken up some type of a collection. With just that little bit of knowledge, just that little bit of knowing, the backstory or the history of a person, our perception changes. If we were to consider the backstories of those around us, if we were to consider who people are and where they came from, we as humans could be much kinder and gentler people. With just that information, we as humans would have the power to change the world. We are a kind and gentle people. We say we don't judge people. We won't admit that we do. But our minds play tricks on us. our mind sees something and it immediately goes through that database, the slot machine, starts spinning in our head. Overweight person. Saw that on some doctor TV show. That person ate way too much. This person must be like that. Judge them as someone who eats too much and needs to exercise more. Stopping and looking at people that we either find something wrong with or see as better than being ourselves and thinking about what their backstory might be will help us to see better that we are all equal. No one is better. No one is worse. We just have a backstory that makes us who we are today. The reality is, we are all equal. We are human beings. We live together on this earth. I am no better or worse than anyone in this room, anyone in this state, anyone on this planet. And although I may choose to do different things with my life, I may conduct myself a little bit differently, I'm just another human being who at the end of my life will take my place with those who have gone before. I'll have a simple headstone. And one day, someone will walk by and perceive from its size and its lettering what might possibly have happened in my life. We need to remember when our thoughts turn sour towards another person that they have a backstory, and that backstory may completely change our perception of them. We need to remember we are all people, and we are all human beings. Amen. Shalom. Blessed be.